Mark Maron here, back on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We are on WLIB in New York City, KBLA in Los Angeles. And I'm looking at this story, and we're just talking about depression and my assumption that it's some of it is a scam to sell medication. But pediatricians and family physicians should not prescribe antidepressants for depressed children and adolescents because the drugs barely work and their side effects are often significant.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah,
sure does.
How depressed can you be and about what, you know, when you're 10?
Well, generally, if kids are depressed, there's generally an external reason. I don't know that any of the chemical stuff with people really kicks in until teen years or later. Any of those the big serious, like, sort of manic depression.
Do they have that? You have kids.
I've had one child who was depressed before.
But do they have existential crises? Like, I don't want to live anymore. None of it makes sense.
They go through all of that when they think that when they figure out that they're not going to live and they get scared of death. And if you're lucky, you have a communicative relationship with them and they talk to you about it. And I remember at the same age thinking I was going to die.
I just realized something. I was never comforted when I had those feelings initially, and that's why went away.
Oh.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. This sort of existential.
I wasn't comforted
either,
but they eventually went away.
Oh, I was comforted.
I went to military school for 3 years. That'll take anything out of you, believe me.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to military school?
For 3 years.
But I'm talking younger than military school. I'm talking kids, you know, sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, when these thoughts about death, these thoughts of insecurity. Bullying at school, and that makes kids depressed. If you notice that your child is really withdrawn and usually outgoing and social and happy and wants to do things, and suddenly all he or she does is come home and lie on the couch or lie on the bed and reads a book and won't engage with anybody, they're depressed.
Didn't Sartre once say that hell is other kids who are on sporting teams?
No, hell to me is other parents cheering along at the sidelines.
I used to hate them. People used to bully me. And the sad thing about bullying is it's a trickle-down theory to it, is that, like, the jocks will bully the artsy kids, and then the artsy kids will bully the geeks. And it just trickles down until the geeks are yelling at the people that, you know, are mutes or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of went through, I guess, a different kind of... I was depressed at 10 when I almost got left back from school.
Yeah. How do you mean? Yeah.
Fifth
had to repeat
grade.
A year, you mean?
Yeah. I almost had to repeat a year. As a matter of fact, the teacher wrote, passed on to the sixth grade without my recommendation. It was on my report card forever. That was the most depressing period of my young life.
Well, I was depressed when I was a kid until I discovered chronic masturbation and the commitment to it.
Which did you do first, the masturbation or the chronic?
Yeah, no, the chronic came much later.
The
first time I got high and my mom caught me. I was like 14. I'd gone across the street and smoked some pot with the guy John Luthy, who lived across the street. I was up in his treehouse, and I came back and I walked into the house, and my mom looked at me and said, "Are you stoned?" And I said, "You know what, Mom? I am." And she looked at me and goes, "Well, why don't you go play guitar? They say you play better when you're like that."
Really?
I was great. No problem.
And then she boxed your ears as you walked past. But that's kind of cool.
That was kind of giving, wasn't it?
See, if I had gotten caught when I was young, I would have got beat. I mean, my mother stopped beating me up, you know, when I was like maybe 13, 14. And when I say beat me up, I'm just saying corporal punishment.
My parents were afraid to discipline me because they were afraid I wouldn't like them anymore.
Really?
You see, parents are like that. I have a big problem with parents who are frightened of their kids not liking them, because that's how you end up with bratty kids, badly behaved adults. People who haven't had limits put on them. People like you, Mark Maron.
I am not a brat, Sue Ellicott. You can shut your British head.
You know what? Actually, getting back to the depression thing, is that you're not allowed to be depressed in Britain because nobody cares. Is it? You know, I grew up in an era
that's what I was talking about earlier.
Keep it to yourself.
That's what I was talking about earlier. You do not entertain the needy, sad guys, do you?
No, we do now. It's been a whole cultural shift. One of the fantastic imports from America, we've been Oprah-sized.
Oh, is she
yes,
helps?
You're allowed
oh,
to.
God,
you can
I can't
let
stand.
It all hang
Ooh,
out. We talk about closure
my
and
dad,
our feelings.
I got it in. See, my dad's a manic depressive, which is very exciting, you know, half the time.
Which half is the exciting bit?
I could go into a whole big.
See,
so I'm very sensitive to it. You know, I'm very sensitive to depression, and I think some of my criticism of depression and not prescribing pills for everything, because not everything is depression, and a lot of people just take pills because, well, it's a little difficult. I can't make creative choices. I don't know how to finish this book and that kind of stuff.
Do you think
that's
they
not
do
depression?
That? I don't.
Of course they do. People, you can't even go into psychiatrists anymore. That there's no such thing as analysis anymore. There's like hands-on therapy is this thing of the past. Psychiatrists will automatically, without even really having a session we'll start you on a medication to see if it works for your problem if you're depressed.
Well, doesn't that depend on who they are? And also, there have been all sorts studies that have shown that, or people have now think that the traditional psychiatry analysis doesn't work anyway.
But that's ridiculous.
Talking and talking and talking.
It's ridiculous.
It depends what problem you have, surely. Sometimes you can be helped through certain things. Other people might just be...
But a lot of times,
whiners.
But a lot of times, though, medication, you know, can placate you while you work through stuff. That
mm-hmm.
the idea of medicating without therapy, without real therapy, without talking therapy, is ridiculous in a lot of ways.
So you need a combination, and it depends.
I think so.
You don't
and then you
need
can 50-50.
It depends on what's you know what your issues are.
Right, but just blindly medicating makes the psychiatrist a pawn of the pharmaceutical industry, and a lot of them just do it. They just medicate right out of the gate, and they don't even go through the therapy sessions.
Well, presumably it's only effective for the length of time of the drug taking, and then once you come off it, you're back to feeling as... Unless you've changed your external circumstances.
You can change your behavior. If you can lighten the load by medicating for like 6 months and the, you know, and work through the problems
right.
with the therapist...
But that's the key. You have to work through the problems. Otherwise, if you just take the drugs and you don't actually address the really serious, scary stuff that you didn't want to confront... You'll be back at square one.
Change your behavior. You know, make different choices for yourself when you're out from under the fear and the depression.
But I would say don't medicate your kids. Talk to them.
Yeah, first.
Spitball.
Oh, you don't even have kids. What do you know?
You're right, I don't. But I you know, my brother has kids and they should all be on medic. No, I'm kidding.
No, but you're not. He's only half kidding.
I know,
kidding.
He's only half kidding.
No,
kidding.
I think medication in almost all situations should be the last thing. Like even with antibiotics, I think, you know, it should be what you resort to when you have no other choices.
Right, so overactive kids and you
sort
of homeopathic treatment.
I don't know, all this stuff is highly overrated to me. I can't, you know, fix yourself. I mean, kids is a little different, but for grown people, you know, you don't
fix yourself. That's not a very spiritual attitude.
No, mine is buy a bike, cycle through a park. Isn't that kind of...
Yeah, well, that's fixing yourself.
Exactly. I'm a self-fixer.
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
A
self-fixer.
You should heal thyself.
There's a lot of ways. I think it's important to ask for help. I think it's important to seek guidance from people you trust. I think it's important to take care of yourself, but that means a lot of different things. You can't, you know.
Suppose you don't trust anybody.
What if you're, that's exactly it. How can somebody, if you're a person that doesn't trust anybody or is a little nuts yourself, how can you trust yourself to fix you if you can't even trust other people?
Uh-oh.
I trust myself before I trust other people.
Mm-hmm. And you think you're a pillar of psychological stability?
No, I'm just here. You know.
No, but he understands himself better than anybody else.
That's right. Yeah. I don't understand anybody.
It's
I
like
certainly
laughing
don't
at
understand
your own
you,
jokes.
Marin.
Doesn't your husband ever tell you things about you that you would never be able to see about you and make you question? You know.
That
yeah,
makes
yourself?
Her throw
exactly.
things at him.
No.
So you have to rely on outside opinion somewhat in order to see yourself clearly. You have to get information from other people.
That's true, and especially the negative stuff.
Later for getting information from other people.
Okay.
You should be able to figure it out for yourself.
Okay, buddy. Well, here's the Morning Sedition Business Report.
Riley.